You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Is the U.S. Supreme Court a law court or a political court? What are the limits of congressional investigatory power? When can the president rebuke congressional subpoenas? Well, these and other constitutional questions are being asked more and more often as our nation continues to be politically divided. Dr. David Adler, who you may remember as the former director of the Andrus Center for Public Policy, among other things, is teaching a three-day class at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute called The Constitution in a Crucible. Dr. Adler is now the president of the Alturas Institute, and he is joining us live in studio. Welcome to the program.
Nice to be with you. Thank you.
So before we dive into the Constitution, talk to us about what the Alturas Institute is.
Thank you. The Alturas Institute is dedicated to advancing American democracy by promoting the Constitution, gender equality, civic education, and equal protection of the law. And so toward that end, we hold programs and conferences around the state and around the country. And in fact, we have a wonderful program September 12 and 13 in Sun Valley, Conversations with Exceptional Women, a remarkable program.
So let's switch now to the Osher clash that's coming up this week. Why focus on the Constitution? And we're talking through the Mueller report, Congress, and the Trump administration.
Yeah. Well, the Constitution, of course, remains the supreme law of the land, even if governmental officials don't always view it that way.
They don't want it to be that way.
And one of the problems we face in our country, and I think it's a great problem, is the decline of institutionalism. That is to say, both Congress and the Supreme Court have declined in importance and in the public eye, and the executive has aggrandized more and more power to the point where we wonder exactly, are there limits to executive power in the United States today?
Is some of that because, frankly, hardly anyone has actually read the Constitution? And B, even if you have, it can be a little difficult to understand if you don't happen to have a law degree.
That's a good point. You know, the Constitution proper is only 87 sentences long. We should remember that so people could do that. The reality is that there are so many conflicting interpretations of different constitutional provisions that those interpretations give rise to great controversies. And, of course, many people want to say, let's leave interpretation of the Constitution to the courts or to Congress or to the academics, and they don't really want to be bothered by it. The concern there is the Constitution was written for the American people, not for government, and so it's incumbent upon the American people to better understand the Constitution so as to protect their rights and to constrain the exercise of governmental powers.
So what are some of the constitutional questions that you'll be looking into in this specific class?
Well, among the questions we've looked at is the scope of congressional power to subpoena the president and to constrain the exercise of presidential power, particularly in light of the Mueller report and the ongoing investigations by both the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees. We've also looked at the appropriate role for the Supreme Court in interpreting the Constitution, whether judges should interpret the document as a law court, adhering to precedent, or whether the court should be willing to shape the Constitution so as to make it adequate to the needs of Americans at any particular juncture in American history.
And you know what's interesting with that, too, when you talk about judges in our Supreme Court, is that even Supreme Court justices view the Constitution differently. I mean, you had the late Antonin Scalia, who was very much a constitutionalist. Mm-hmm. Yet there are other Supreme Court justices, and I'm not even talking about them being more liberal or conservative. It is how they interpret the Constitution. So how does all of that even play into it?
Well, you're quite right about that. And a lot of it has to do with the choice of justices to emphasize one particular approach or another. Justices might choose to emphasize the text of the Constitution more than they might choose to emphasize the debates in the Constitutional Convention. Others would say precedent is more important. Still others might say precedent's important, but what's more important is the nature of the evolving nation in which we live and the responsibility of the court to take into account the impact of its decisions on America as a whole. So these different interpretations, as you say, will give rise to ongoing controversies and debates.
We're talking with Dr. David Adler. He is president of the Alturas Institute about how the Constitution is holding up in the climate and culture we live in right now. He's hosting an evening conversation with the City Club of Boise tonight at Boise State Public Radio. So definitely be involved with that if you are interested. And I'm curious about going back to this idea of the Constitution being for the people. Mm-hmm. Because that sometimes seems to get lost in all of the debate.
That's so true. The reality is that the Constitution was written by and for the American people, both to ensure that governmental power would be allocated in a way that reflected the views and values of the people, and also that governmental power would not be exercised in a way that intruded upon the rights of the people. And the only way for the American people to exercise their sovereignty and to hold government accountable is for the Americans to have at least a basic understanding of the meaning of the Constitution and how it applies, so that they could say, for example, that President Trump is exceeding his authority, or when President Trump says he has unlimited power under Article 2, that there may not be any historical basis for that, or to say, conversely, that Congress is failing to carry out its responsibilities in the area of war making and foreign affairs, and that it's acquiescing in usurpation of its appropriations power. Lots of issues, and those are central to the lives of Americans. They may not realize it, but it not only probes the quality of their life, but it has a huge impact on the direction of the nation and whether or not they can make wise and informed choices when they vote for Senate candidates or the president.
And in your opinion, then, how critical is it that the average person has even just a base understanding of the Constitution?
You know, it's a crisis here in America. The high level of civic illiteracy is alarming. A lot of Americans can't say what the three branches of government are. They can't recite the different rights and liberties guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. They couldn't name U.S. senators. That's a problem because as Americans, knowledge of the Constitution and the fundamental nature of our system declines, it becomes more and more difficult for the American people to participate in a meaningful way, to exercise a voice on important issues that matter to them, and frankly, to hold government accountable, which is a key cornerstone of our constitutional system. And if Americans don't have a working understanding of what the president may do and what the president may not do, there's no way for the people to hold that president to account.
Whether it's the current president or whomever will be president moving forward.
That's so true. And what we know is that the imperial presidency that arose in the mid-1960s has been exercised by both Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals alike, far beyond what the framers of the Constitution expected in the office that they created. That would be shocking to Americans, and the framers of the Constitution would not recognize the presidency that they created.
So you've already done 2 days of classes. Mm-hmm. What's the response been like?
You know, I'm so happy. It's been so enthusiastic. We've had roughly 500 OSHER members who participate in the classroom discussions. It's such a well-informed, knowledgeable group with a lot of enthusiasm. And tomorrow's last lecture will focus on the 100th anniversary of the congressional passage of the 19th Amendment, which secured the right for women to vote. Exactly. And I think there'll be a high level of interest for that. And I'm assuming a lot of very good questions. I love teaching at the OSHER Institute because the students are so well informed and enthusiastic about the subjects.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today about this. It is an important conversation to have, whether people want to be informed or not about it.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed being with you.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Dr. David Adler. He is president of the Alturas Institute, about how the Constitution is holding up right now. And remember, he is hosting an evening conversation with the City Club of Boise tonight at Boise State Public Radio, and it is open to the public. Up next, keeping Idaho refugees safe around water. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.